Thank you so much. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to start out there. I'm going to preach in Nehemiah chapter 9 this morning. And I am thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. And even more so under the circumstances. Hallelujah. Have y'all figured out what they're going to call him yet? Not the baby. I'm talking about Pastor Rusty. Is it Paw or Grandpa or... Hey, you, or what, you know? That's right. Quit bringing stuff over here. That's what they call them, right? That's what I call my kids' grandparents. Quit bringing stuff over here. So, Luke chapter number 15. I'm going to preach Luke chapter 15 through Nehemiah chapter 9. So, if you want to flip through there this morning as well, and we're going to look at some of that and what's going on there. Very much a story you're all familiar with. The story of the prodigal son this morning in Luke chapter number 15, and begin reading in verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. In other words, he said, I want what's mine, and I want it right now. And we don't know nothing about that today, do we? So, and it says, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when he had joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And let me just say here that I don't believe when that boy left that he walked through the work to get away from the father. I believe he turned his back on his daddy. I believe he turned his back on the father. I believe he turned his back on the work that was being done and headed in the opposite direction. And I believe that what that father did at that time is he'd come down here whenever he left, and he just stood there and watched him until he was clean out of sight. And I believe he stood there for a period of time waiting for him to come back home until he realized that he was not coming back. And he turned and went back to the work that was to be done. Has anybody ever invited anybody to church before and y'all sit in church waiting for them to show up and you do this number here? I believe the father did that. I believe the father was back to the work, and I don't believe there was an hour that went by where he didn't check. I don't believe there was an hour went by where he wasn't doing the work and he didn't give a glimpse back just to see where he had went off to see if he was coming back home. And I don't believe that he ever spent a day of his life waiting for that boy to come back home where he didn't check to see if he was coming back home. And that father has looked and went back to the work, and he was getting the work done and doing the work, but he would look back to the father, to the son, where the son went off to see if he had come back home. And that son had went off, and he went to a strange country, a foreign land where he did not belong, where the stuff that he had was no good. It didn't even last long. And to the point where he had nothing. And to the point where he was absolutely empty. And to the point where he had to join himself to a citizen of that foreign country. And what does the Bible say here? The Bible says that there was a mighty famine that arose. And he joined himself to the citizen of the country. And in verse number 15 it says he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Not only did he send him into the fields to feed swine, watch what happened in verse 16. It said he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. He went and joined himself unto this citizen of a foreign land. And he didn't even get paid for feeding the hogs. Get this picture today in which we live. He's giving stuff to bacon. He's giving stuff to ham and fatback and pork chops and picnics and barbecue. But he couldn't eat it. For one, it wasn't his, and two, they couldn't do that in his day. And he's wanting something to eat. He's wanting something just to fill his belly. And the person he's working for, the citizen of the foreign country that he was in, wouldn't even pay him. So what does he do? Verse 17. The Bible says, when he came to himself, He finally sat down and thought about everything that had conspired in his life. He finally sat down and thought about his father that he had left. He finally sat down and thought about everything he thought that he wanted. He finally sat down and thought about everything that he had before him, which was absolutely nothing. You see, that world out there, led by that citizen of that world out there, we know him as Satan himself, the ruler of the world. He will leave you with absolutely nothing. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care what it looks like or what it seems like he's got for you. The end result is you're hungry and you got nothing. And the fact of the matter is you got to come to yourself. You got to have a talk with yourself. You got to sit down and think about things that have conspired with you and you alone. And by the way, if you ever get to heaven, that's how it's going to be. It's going to be you and you alone. Now, other people are going, no doubt. But I can't ride Mama and Daddy's coattails. I can't ride Grandpa and Grandma's coattails. I'm not going just because I came in here and sat for an hour today. That's not how it works at all. So what he's looking at now is he thinks to himself in verse 17, he says, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? What does he say about the father's servants, that they're hired? What does that mean? He's paying them. He's giving them. God calls you, and you get saved by the marvelous grace of God. He provides every need. He gives you everything you'll ever need. Are there tough times? Yeah, there are tough times. Are there good times? More good than bad. Have you ever seen a skinny evangelist? Have you ever seen a skinny missionary? No, we got plenty. Amen. And he come to himself and he says these words, I will arise and go to my father. I want you to pay attention to that because that's important. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. What does he say first? I've sinned against heaven first and before thee. And what's he saying? He said, I won't right with God. I've had time to come to myself. I've talked to myself. I've realized I ain't right with God because of what I did with you. I've asked God to forgive me. Father, will you forgive me as well? I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. What's the father do? Well, in verse 20, he arises and went. That's what the Bible says. He said that he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, I believe that same spot that he watched him disappear to over the horizon is where he did this number that one more time and turned around and looked and said, there he is, there he is, there's my boy. I believe that's what he did. It had to happen that way. Because the father saw him from way off, is what the Bible says. His father saw him, had compassion, and ran and kissed his neck, fell on him. Verse 21, the son said unto him, exactly what he came to himself, and exactly what he rehearsed, is what he told the father. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But, I love that word. That transition word in the Bible. The father said unto his servants, No, son, you want to be one of my hired servants. You've been away, you've been wrong, you've been out and gone, I thought you were dead. He doesn't say go over there and get and make like my servants, as you requested to be. He tells the ones that are already his servants, go get the fatty calf, go get the best robe. Look what it says. Father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put the ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet. Good night. He blessed him right there in front of everybody. Bring hither the fatty calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Watch it. Watch it. Verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now turn with me to Nehemiah chapter number 9, if you would, please. Nehemiah chapter number 9. Nehemiah chapter number 9. giving a little bit of background in Nehemiah is Israel was split. You know, they were under David, they were brought together as a one nation. Under David, a man after God's own heart. And Solomon came along and they had peace. David wanted to have peace in the kingdom, but he couldn't because he was a man with bloodshed. He was a man of war. And his son Solomon, by the way, which was Bathsheba's son, restitution there for Bathsheba and what she went through. Solomon became king. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. He got all wisdom. God said, that's amazing that you would ask for that. It's granted to you. He mentioned it in Sunday school. Solomon afterwards did things wrong, and there was peace throughout the land. And a lot of times when there's peace in our life, we'll do things we shouldn't do. A lot of times when there's peace going on, when everything looks good and feels good, we'll kind of test the waters a little bit. See what it's like in the far country. Just to see if we can get by, how far we can get away with. And as he got on and went further and further, and as you know, he had sons and he died, and then the kingdom was divided almost immediately. The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, 10 tribes in the north, the last two in the south, Benjamin and Judah. The 10 tribes in the north were overtaken by Assyria. And as they were overtaken, they could not gain ground on the south because God gave them a space of grace, you might want to call it. Then after a while, Babylon come in and took over, and they come down and took over the southern parts, all except for Jerusalem. And Jerusalem lasted 10 more years before it fell to Babylon as well. We come here to Nehemiah now. This is in exile. They've been taken away into Babylon. No longer had a country. No longer had a place of worship. This is now in the time of following Daniel's praying in the window, in which we remember so well, that got him in so much trouble. The three boys that wouldn't burn, this is after that. And Esther, of whom said, at such a time as this, if I die, I die. This is now that we're talking about. This is just after that. Zerubbabel had already been sent back and he had built the temple. Now, Nehemiah has a burden to build the walls. And Nehemiah has just finished building the walls in chapter number 7. And in chapter number 8, the people beg him, say, get the word of God, get Moses' book and read it to us. And that's what we want to hear now. Because the remnant had came back to Jerusalem that had been taken away into Babylon some 142 years earlier. And in chapter number 9, the first part, the first three verses shows repentance. Then the verse 4 down through verse 15, they give kind of a standing blessing and a standing reading of the word and kind of praising God and kind of remembering and giving a history account of what all God had done. And that's praise, giving account of what God had done. In verse number 15, we pick up our reading in chapter number 9 of Nehemiah, and the Bible says, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger. It is talking about in the wilderness whenever they came out of Egypt. And brought forth water out of the rock. Look at verse 16. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders, and thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. And this phrase I'm fixing to read is what I want to preach on this morning. And it's exemplified in the Luke 15 account of the prodigal son. And that phrase is, but thou art a God ready to pardon. Thank you, Lord, for that. Gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Let's go to the word and a little prayer, and we'll get into the message this morning. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your long suffering, your kindness. Thank you for supplying the salvation need. Thank you for supplying the blood of Christ that washeth away all sins. Thank you for supplying the spotless Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Thank you for being happy with that sacrifice. Thank you for putting it on our account for all those that ask. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to take us to where you are one day. Thank you, God, for going and preparing a place for us. Thank you, God, for coming again to receive us where you are. And we just ask that you would bless and move mightily into service this morning. Help people at the altar. Help people in their hearts, the altar of their heart even. Dear God, help your people this morning in a great and mighty way. We're so bound by the things of sin, the things that bind us up, the things that hold us, the things that lock us down. God, I pray, God, that you let us know that you're a God ready to pardon this morning. Thank you, Father, for being long-suffering towards us. It's in Jesus' name I ask it for your glory alone this morning. Amen. Thou art a God ready to pardon. Just like the father of the prodigal son, ready to pardon. I believe God is standing here waiting for somebody to just come up and say, I give up, I can't do it. God, I just trust you. I want to trust you. That's what God wants to do. He wants to pardon you. But if you read on in verse number 1 through 3 of chapter number 9, there's some things got to be done before pardon can come. Because if you'll remember, they went off into idolatry. I'll give you a little history lesson before we started reading chapter number 9 of Nehemiah. And they went off into idolatry. They did what they wanted to. Oh, yes, they still done some of the things that they were supposed to do, but they kept adding to it. That happened when Solomon came about and had all those wives. You see, there's a lot of times we'll participate in church, show up for church, do church things, but we like to do world things too. We want what's ours and we want it now, like the prodigal son. We want to have this that we love so dear and that that everybody else loves so dear too. That's where we are today in which we live. And he told his father, give me that which is mine. You see, pardon this morning is defined as forgiveness to us. It's meant to spare somebody. Well, I don't think we understand what pardon means, really. I think we like forgiveness. We talk about forgiveness. But we got a God ready to pardon this morning. I'm talking about it's the release of an offense or of the obligation to the offended. You see, we're obligated to God. Sin carries an obligation. Be sure your sin will find you out. The many times people think they didn't get away with sin, but we can't get away with sin. There's no way. The scary part is, and the reason we fear God as much as we do, because we don't even know that we sin a lot of times. Sins of omission, sins of commission, doing what we're not supposed to do and not doing what we're supposed to is just as much sin, one as the other. So it's the release of the offense. It's the one that is offended gives you the okay that it's okay. He lets you know that to suffer the penalty in which you had to suffer has been paid for. It's over. You don't have to go through that anymore. What's that called? It's called hell this morning. We don't have to go to hell because he paid for it all. He said free pardon is given to everybody whosoever shall receive it. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. So I'm a pretty good person. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, how did that happen? Well, from by one man, sin entered into the world, Romans 5:12, and death through sin. Thus, by one man, death has been passed on to all men. Which is why one man can pay the penalty for all death, which was Jesus Christ. It's not me and you. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. It's God's law that shows us that we have offended God. What was it about the boy in the hog pen that showed him that he had offended heaven? He was an Israelite. God's people ain't built for this. He was a square peg in a round hole and it was about to tear him all to pieces because he wasn't built for that. And he realized, this ain't right. This don't fit. This something ain't right. And he came to himself. There's never been a person that didn't need pardon. Never been a boy or girl, a young boy, a young man, that new baby, that's everybody that's ever been born needs pardoning. Somehow we think because we accept Christ as our Savior that we don't need pardon anymore. Oh no, the sin debt's been paid, no doubt, for those that have accepted Christ as Savior. But there are times in my life I need forgiveness. I need to get back right with God. There are times in my life where I sit in that hog pen and waller and wonder, what have I done? God, where are you at? God, can you help me? God, what are you doing here? And I need pardon, even as a child of God. That's the thing about it. That boy that left was still that father's son. No doubt about it. And there's probably more Christians that's walked away from the faith than there ever was. The people that's lost never came back to church again. That just makes me want to shout, because it realizes this morning that, look, the Bible says that thou art a God ready to pardon. You don't have to invoke nothing. You don't have to inject nothing. You don't have to perform nothing. All you've got to do is come to him and say, God, will you forgive me? And he says, he'll meet you more than halfway. Just like the father did to that prodigal son. He'll meet you there. He wants to do it. He's waiting for you. He's looking over his shoulder. Where are you at this morning? What are you doing? I got work to do, but I know somebody's got to come this morning. That's what he's doing. That's God ready to pardon. That's ready to pardon. Makes us want to shout. Now, listen, I need forgiveness. I need to realize that I've been set free. That's the crux of the matter this morning. A lot of Christians don't realize you've been set free. We carry that in which we have before we get saved right on into our saved life. You never left it at the cross. You never left it at the foot of the cross. You never gave it to Jesus. And we carry these things on, and it does not do anything but hinder us, and the devil uses it as much as he can. Do you remember when you did that? That ain't nothing a Christian would do. And what do? You, I can't do this. And you'll say like that prodigal, I'm no more worthy to be thy son. I can't be an ambassador for Christ. I can't be a child of the King. I know what I used to be. And the devil will use it, and he'll stir it, and he'll bring it up. And God says, what sin are you talking about? I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I've forgotten that. It's as far as the east is from the west. It's in the depths of the sea. It's gone forever. Stand up, child, and work for God. That's what he said. He's a God ready to pardon. I'm no more bound to the punishment. I'm no more bound to the law and justice. I've got righteousness through forgiveness, through imparted grace. I've got grace of God. I've got mercy of God. Paul and Silas felt that way maybe in the jail. You know, they were in jail. They could have called to the flesh. God, what are you doing? What's happening? What's going on? I don't get it. But I'm telling you, just like them this morning, my shackles have been falling off. I mean, my world was shaking. I mean, the prison doors have been opened. I mean, the angel showed up and said, come on with me. Let's go get this work done. Now, y'all ain't going to have me back no more because I said something about an angel doing something. Don't get theological on me all of a sudden, all right? Amen. But listen to me. I'm not tied down anymore. If you're born again, you're not tied down in that sin anymore. Forsake it. Leave it. Repentance is still a Bible word. Repent of it. God, I have sinned against heaven. What's wrong with saying that? Listen to me. It ain't because of me. It ain't because of me. It's nothing I've done. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done. In Hebrews, it talks about the New Testament. Chapter number 9 of Hebrews. Not the Old Testament. Not the old covenant promise. If you did this, I'll do this. That's what a promise is. If you do this, I'll perform this. If you do that, I'll perform this. No, no. When Jesus died, because the death of the testator must take place, in other words, the last will and testament isn't read until the person that it is written about is passed away. When Jesus had that New Testament, he brought it before God the Father, and God looked at it and said, I'll accept that. And Jesus said, this is what I'm offering to pay for that. And God said, that's exactly what I wanted. I'll take that. And the Holy Spirit says, I've seen you do it. I'm the witness to it. And not only am I a witness to it, I'm going to go live inside the person that accepts Jesus Christ, and I'm going to witness it to them as long as they live too. It's a promise from God the Father and God the Son with the Holy Spirit witnessing. We didn't do nothing about it. And God affords that to us to be saved by the grace of God. Oh, what liberty there is in that thought this morning. What am I telling you? He's a God ready to pardon. He's a God ready to pardon. I'm going to give you three thoughts to consider. Quick points. I'm done. Three thoughts to consider about a God that's ready to pardon. Number one, he's ready to pardon because mankind needs it. Amen. Mankind needs it. Watch what it says in verse 16. Our fathers dealt proudly. There's too much pride in the world. Proverbs chapter 6 talks about six things. These six things, yea, seven, doth the Lord hate. And the first one he starts with is pride. God hates pride. Number two, looking at it, and we're too proud. Number two is that we're stuck on our own ways. What does he say? They hardened their necks. We're too stuck in our ways. We've gotten too comfortable in the hog pen. We've gotten too used to slipping some shucks for ourselves and getting just enough to get by. God does not have it set up for you get just enough to get by. That's not the God we serve. God does not even want what's good for you. God wants what is the absolute best for you. And we settle on the good. We settle on the shucks. We settle in the hog pen and we get settled. And our necks are stiffened. What does that mean? We harden our necks. That means you're one directional. This is what I've done. This is what we've always done. This is what I'm going to do. What does it mean? It says we're too stiff-necked. We don't look for ways to change. We don't look around like, "What? This ain't right." What if that boy feeding them hogs would have never looked at nothing but the hogs eating being satisfied? What if that boy would have never looked around at his feet and saw his feet dirty, his hands dirty, his legs dirty? What if that boy would have never looked around and seen his stomach starting to sink in, him getting a little hungry? He came to himself because he won't stiff-necked anymore. We get too settled. We don't see a need for change. We're too secure. We're happy doing what we've always done. And by the way, we're too hard-headed. Look what the Bible says. It said, "They hearken not to thy commandments." God told them time and time and time and time and time and time again. For a long span of time, he begged Israel not to go in that direction. Should they have repented and turned, Israel would have never fallen. Thus, Judah would have never fallen. Thus, Jerusalem would have never fallen. Thus, they'd have never went into captivity. Why? Because he's a God ready to pardon. And we think about it this morning and where that is at. It took these people in Nehemiah chapter 9 142 years to realize that God is ready to pardon. 142 years. That's multiple generations. That crowd that did that was born into captivity. They were captives when they were born. By the way, we're all born into captivity. We're all born into sin. That's what the Bible just said. But we're too hard-hearted. We can't do that. The law is our schoolmaster. That's why the law is given. So many people got this wrong idea about Bible. So many people got this wrong idea about church. It's too hard. I can't keep all these commandments. I can't remember all this stuff. If you're born again, saved by the grace of God, that stuff is not over your head. That stuff does not have you handcuffed with your hands behind your back. That stuff was put there to show you when you were lost and dying and going to a devil's hell to spend eternity that this is the reason why. That points us to Jesus Christ is what Galatians chapter 3 says, verse 24 and 25. The law is our schoolmaster pointing us to Christ. To say, "I did it all." That's what Christ did. He supplied every need. He fulfilled every promise. And it's in Christ alone that we could be saved and miss hell and go to heaven. That's it. He's our schoolmaster. The law is our schoolmaster. But when Jesus is introduced as the pardon payment, it's no longer under the law. We're not under the law. It's been paid for. It's been accomplished. It's been fulfilled. Look at verse 17. It says they refused to obey. They were neither mindful of the wonders. They were stubborn. They refused to obey. It's one thing to not obey by ignorance. It's a whole other thing to know it and not do it. They refused to obey. They didn't want to hear God's law. They didn't want to acknowledge that God is the creator, as we keep reading there. They didn't want to recognize God's miracles in all of life and all of everything that was done. Probably where evolution started. Yeah, we didn't come from Egypt. We didn't come from God. We came from monkeys. We were slime and we come out. Listen, it takes more faith to believe that junk than it ever will to believe that God created everything. I mean, how could you even believe such as that? There's no end to the answer. Oh, it all just exploded. What exploded? Where did that come from? Oh, it was just always there. Now you're talking about God. God was always there. And he's the one that done it. And if it made a big bang or not, I don't know. I wasn't there. No doubt when God speaks, it probably did make a big bang. But do you realize in all of what it's saying here that they weren't mindful to the wonders that God did among them. They hardened their necks. Do you realize that what God did in all his marvelous power, that Romans 1:16 says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Not the creation, not everything he ever did that did things that we had not even thought about or can't do. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation, all that believe. That's a powerful word that we're dealing with. So number one, we got a people that are ready to be pardoned because we need it. People need pardon. We need pardon. Ask Joe Biden who needs pardon. Hallelujah. And you get a pardon, and you get a pardon, and you get a pardon, and you get a pardon. Did you do anything? Not well. Do what you want to. You get a pardon too. Do you think they accept that? Do you think any of that crowd said, I'm not going to accept your pardon. That's fine. I don't want it. No, you'd be a fool too, wouldn't you? Why in God's name do we accept the pardon that God has given us? Why does people do that? Why? God has given the pardon to us because he knows that we're a needy people and he's a God that's ready to pardon this morning. Number two, he's ready to pardon because of who he is. Hallelujah. Look at that word in verse 17. It says, return to their bondage. What's your punctuation after that? That's a colon, and I like it. Because whereas a period would be there, that would be the end of that story. But that colon means, hold on just a minute, let me explain something. That's what that colon means. Hold on just a minute, let me explain something. Oh, they return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and you forsook them not. God, they turned their back on you and they walked away from the work. They walked away from everything you've done while you were yet still working in their lives, performing miracles. They didn't acknowledge that. And while you were working, no doubt you were checking over your shoulder to see if they were coming back. You never forsook them. The Bible says that he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, we serve a gracious and merciful God this morning. Gracious means he gives us things that we don't even deserve. Ask Brother Rusty about that when he gets back with that new grandbaby. He's going to get everything. He just don't even know nothing about it, but he's going to get it all because that's the way grandbabies are. They get it all, don't they? If you'd known they were that much fun, you'd have had them first, wouldn't you? Amen. That's the grace of God. God gives us exactly what we don't deserve. We don't deserve his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. We don't deserve that. That's the grace of God. You couldn't even understand that this morning if God didn't give you enough grace to have enough faith to believe it. It's God. It's all about him. He's a God ready to pardon. He's gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and of great kindness. And Psalms is full of that. Slow to anger and of great kindness. And then he says he forsook him not. God, listen. The father ain't leaving the farm, buddy. Can I bring it down to Eastern North Carolina term? That father's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. He's on the throne tonight. He's on the throne this morning. He's on the throne yesterday. And he will be on the throne tomorrow. He's not going anywhere. And by the way, if he's far away from you, he ain't moved. So who moved? What happened? Oh my. He's looking back this morning. Not only is he a God ready to pardon because he knows mankind needs pardon. He knows we need pardon. Matter of fact, we need forgiveness. Let me just go one further. That's even sweeter than pardon is. That's good. Not Irene. you ain't got to worry about it, son. I forgive you. Go get the good robe. No, no, no. Mm-mm. Not that one. Let me reset it. Go get the best robe. Get the signet ring that says you in my family, that you're my son. Take mine. Oh, go get the best calf. We're going to have T-bone steak tonight. You can't eat barbecue. You've been in playing with the barbecue while you were gone. Uh-uh, buddy. We're having T-bone steak. Go get the fatty calf. What in the world does God do such as like that for us? Because he's a God ready to pardon. He knows we need it because he knows who we are. And he's ready to pardon because of who he is. What's the final thought this afternoon? Just listen. He's a God ready to pardon, but we got to be willing to receive it. Nehemiah chapter number 9 and the stuff that we just read and studied is nothing more than a commentary from Luke 15 in that long sentence where he says, and he came to himself. That's a whole commentary on that one sentence. He came to himself. Why did he come to himself? Because he realized what he needed. He just needed something. Why did he come to himself? Because he realized that the Father was willing, that the Father was ready to pardon, because that's who he is. So what did he do about it? Do y'all remember? He says he got up and went. He got up and went. They're ready to pardon because of chapter 9, verse 1. 24th day of the month, the children of Israel assembled fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon him. That's repentance, folks. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from strangers. That's separation. And stood and confessed their sins. That's confession and repentance as well. And their iniquities of not only theirs own, but it says of their fathers. And they stood in the place and read the book of the law of the Lord. They gathered around the word of God. 1/4 part of the day, I ain't going to hold you that long. And another 1/4 part, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. What am I saying to you? This is 142 years later, culminating in three verses, in the first three verses of chapter 9. And God pardons them. 142 years, and God pardons them. What? I didn't think he'd ever come. Come on. Listen to me, folks. Y'all all stand. I'm done. Let the piano player come and play something softly on the piano. Everybody can stand. Listen, you and I need forgiveness. We carried the burden way too long. We've been in a far country and we got the stink of hog all over us. We just need cleaning up. We need forgiveness. And God is sitting here this morning like this. I know you want to. I know you're back there. I'm waiting for you as long as I can. One of these days, it's up to you. If you wait too long, the time will pass. You'll die in the hog pen. It says that his son was dead to him. Are you not where you used to be as a Christian this morning? Are you lost this morning and don't have Christ as a Savior? What about it? The altar's open. Y'all come and pray with us as she starts playing. Everybody knows they need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. We need to take the burden that holds us down and locks us up and lay it on the altar and get rid of it. Say, I'm done with that. Christ, I trust you. It's yours, and I'm through with it this morning. We need pardon. We need forgiveness. Why? Because he's a God ready to pardon. I promise you this morning, he'll not turn you away if you won't pardon. He won't do it. Why? Because that's who he is. So what are you willing to do about it? The Bible says he got up and went. He's waiting for you this morning. He's ready to pardon. I believe in this preaching this morning, there's a lot of people that might have come to their senses. Came to themself is what the Bible said in Luke 15. I came to myself. I realized, hey, this ain't going to work. This ain't working. How I thought I was going to get to heaven is not how I'm going to get to heaven. It's not what the Bible says. I'd love to show you. Come meet with me. We meet at the church. I'll sit down with you and we'll show you at the church. Understand this. He just wants you to move enough so he could catch a glimpse of you. So he can meet you where you are. That's what he wants. He's a God ready to pardon this morning. wants to put his arm around you and kiss you on the neck. Tell you, my son, I thought you were dead, and now you're alive. And hallelujah for that. Last verse.